Good morning.
If you would, go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll get there in just a moment. About 35 years ago, I made a deal, not with the devil, it was with Nick Hamilton. And I made a deal with him that that I would never try to preach if he would never try to lead singing. Given that this pretty obviously violates that long-standing deal, Jason, you may want to get some guys to help block the aisles when we get to the invitation song, just in case Nick tries to make good on his part of a broken deal. So I just wanted to make that, Nick, I did finally break the deal. When God calls your name, we're going to talk this morning about Moses. And so I want to ask you, what do you think of when you think of Moses? Well, the odds are if you're, say, 50 years old or older, this is what you think of. This from Cecil B. DeMille's classic Ten Commandments from the late 50s. We think of Moses, and we know of Moses as a great leader, because Moses is honored above most men in the Bible. We know that Moses was the deliverer of Israel. We know that he was the giver of the law. We know that if you push the right button, this works. We know that from Deuteronomy that there was no prophet like him that came after him. Interestingly enough, in Numbers it says he was the most humble man on earth. He was one of the prophets, along with Elijah, that appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's mentioned 750 times in the Old Testament and over 80 in the New. He's the greatest human leader Israel ever had. His name is still spoken today. I would expect not a week goes by that his name is not mentioned here. You know the story probably. You learned it like I did in Sunday school. He was saved from certain death at birth after Pharaoh had decreed that all of the male Hebrew children be killed at birth. His mother hid him in the reeds along the Nile, where he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised as a son in Pharaoh's house. Moses had it all at age 40. He saw an Egyptian beating of a fellow Israelite, and he killed him. But the next day, several Israelites were fighting. Moses tried to break them up, and they said, "Are you going to kill us like you did that guy yesterday?" Realizing that his cover was blown, he ran away to Midian. He spent the next 40 years in hiding, tending sheep. Now at the age of 80, he's still there, and he's still hiding. He's just an old, worn-out shepherd tending somebody else's sheep. Until one day, he's making his standard path back and forth along the route of Mount Horeb, probably going to and from pasture, and he sees something. He sees a bush that's on fire, but it's not consumed. Note what Exodus chapter 3, verse 3 says. It says that he turned aside. He said, wait a minute, there's something over there, and I've got to go see that. It was not in the middle of his path. It was over there. And we'll know, if you'll note, God didn't speak to Moses until he turned aside. But as soon as he did, God spoke. Once he knew he had Moses' undivided attention. And he said, Moses, I've seen the trouble that my people are in, and I want to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And so how does Moses respond? Does he just pack his bags and say, oh, let's go? No, that's not what he did. He protests, and he starts here. Who am I? He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring my people out of Egypt? We don't know exactly what was going through his mind, but maybe he was just thinking, I am just an 80-year-old, worn-out shepherd. I'm not the one. Maybe he's thinking, now you do know that I came here to hide. Or, Lord, you do realize I have baggage in Egypt, as Brother Mark talked to us about baggage and how it can hold us back. You know I've got some things back there in Egypt that I really don't want to go back to. And what did God respond? God said, I'll be with you. But then Moses protests again. He says, well, who are you? He says, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I'll say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses says, well, how will they know you sent me? Now, I'm going to warn you that sometimes when I read Scripture aloud, I like to use the emphasis that I think is there. So this is your heads up. God's response was, I am that I am. God shared his personal name with Moses, a name that is too holy to be pronounced. It's unpronounceable in Hebrew, and the transliteration into English is also unpronounceable. It has no vowels. YHWH. Now, we Gentiles had to add vowels so that we could pronounce it, Yahweh. The Jews will not speak the name of God. If you open the Jewish Bible, they will not print the name of God. If you look in there, it is G*D. I am that I am. A name that's too holy to be pronounced. Tell them I am sent you. And yet, Moses protests again. He says, what about them? What if they do not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses' complaint here. But again, what if they don't believe me, Lord? And the Lord's response, show them these signs. He said, throw your rod down. It became a snake. He said, pick it up by the tail. It became a rod again. He said, put your hand in your cloak. And he put his hand in his cloak and he pulled it out and it was leprous. And he put his hand back in and he pulled it out and it was whole again. And he said, and if that's not enough, take water from the Nile and pour it out on the dry ground and it'll become blood. God said, show them these signs. Yet Moses protests again. He said, but what about me? Moses said, Lord, I have never been eloquent, not at any time, for I am slow of speech and I am slow of tongue. Moses' complaint, Lord, I don't speak well. Now, I'm going to take just a second and tell you that this is a passage of Scripture that means a lot to me. Because I'm going to clue you in on a little secret here. For the two of you in this room that don't know, I stutter for 58 years, never knowing if the next word that I speak is going to come or if it's going to get hung up. I know what it's like to be slow of speech and tongue, and I'll be honest with you, I've used this one for years. This has been my protest for years. Until about 10 years ago, this passage of Scripture convicted me. Moses tops the list, generally, of famous stutterers. When you're a kid and you're in speech therapy and they're trying to give you hope, they show you lists. And back in my day, Moses was always on the top. Other people who were on that list, James Earl Jones. Can you imagine a stuttering Darth Vader? John Stossel, those of you who may remember him from ABC 2020. And who can forget Mel Tillis, who couldn't say a word, but he could sing. I guess I can relate to that one, too. Some of the younger folks may know of a young Australian singer by the name of Megan Washington, who did a TED Talk. It's the best I have ever heard about what it's like to be a stutterer. Moses says, Lord, I don't speak well. And what did God say? Who made man's mouth? Was it not I, the Lord? Now, the McClanahan East Texas version translates that as, Moses, don't you think I know that? But I will be with your mouth. But Moses, one more time, he says, Lord, what about someone else? He says, please, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. So is there any doubt at this point about who God wants? But he says, please send the message by whomever you will. And Moses here is saying, send somebody, anybody else. The text says, the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And the Lord said, I'll send Aaron, your brother, with you. I know that he speaks fluently. Now, go. And at this point, Moses went back to his father-in-law, Jethro, and he said, if I may, I need to go to Egypt. And so, it makes me want to ask the question, why? Why was Moses so reluctant to answer God's call? He protested in the presence of the Lord 5 times in front of a bush that's on fire, that's not consumed, that the voice of God is speaking out of, and 5 times Moses says, Lord, I'm not your guy. But then what holds us back when God calls? Why don't we step up when we, in our own way, hear the voice of God? More specifically, why don't I step up? We could spend the rest of the day with me telling you of all the times that God has called me to do something, and I came up with some excuse just like Moses did. Or I'll step on toes, and we'll sing things that are higher. Can you get me back where I need to be? Okay, we're going to start over. Let me tell you that 35 years ago, I made a deal. No. Thank you, Matthew. Let's see. No, we're not going there. We're going, I need to go back a slide. Now we're going. I'm sorry. I had this all worked out, and then I blew it. Okay, we got through fifth protest. Now I'm completely lost. All right. Why? So why don't we respond? Why don't I? Why don't you? What are the things in your heart? What are the excuses you have that you give? Not to me, but to God when he calls you. So I've got two primary reasons. We could probably spend most of the day talking about other reasons that we don't answer when God calls us. But I've got two. We are too busy. We are too busy to listen for God's call. Moses had probably been that way with the sheep 100 times. One day there was something different. But we're too busy. We're too distracted with life to live life in God's calling. We're too enamored with the things of this world to be concerned about the things that matter in the next. So, what if Moses had been staring at his phone, right? All right, come on, I got to check the market price for sheep here. Come on. What if Moses had not been paying attention? That was an excuse to change sides. But what if he hadn't taken the detour? Because it says he turned aside. Wasn't until he turned aside, wasn't until God knew he had his complete attention that God spoke to him. We're too busy. Reason number two, and I think it's probably bigger than the first. We're too often afraid. We're afraid of the unknown. What's it going to be like if I go do this thing God has called me? Moses didn't know what awaited him when he went back. We're afraid of failure and embarrassment. That's a big one to me. What if I go do this thing you've called me to, Lord, and I fail? And I'm going to be embarrassed. We're afraid to committing to something. Well, how long is it going to take, and how long will I be involved in it? We're afraid of not having all the answers or the skills. I don't know how to do that. We're afraid sometimes of getting our hands dirty in the lives of other people. Watch your toes. Mine are bloody because I had to study this all week. With all due respect, it's not about us. It's not about what I want. It's not about your fears. It's not about us, folks. It's about our being willing to step out in faith when God calls us and to do what He calls us to with full faith that the God of the universe, the great I am, can meet every need and can take care of us regardless of where He calls us to. If you don't remember anything else about what I've said this morning, I hope you'll remember this next thing. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. If you look through Scripture, God didn't choose the strongest and the most eloquent and the best. He chose real human beings with all their inadequacies, all of their failures, and He called them to do great things. And He equipped them. So does God call us today? Have you seen any burning bushes in your neighborhood lately? If we don't get some rain at my house pretty soon, mine just may all go up. But no, I've not seen a burning bush in my neighborhood or anywhere along my route. But then I also hadn't been looking for them. Maybe it's when you see someone in need, a brother or a sister or a stranger in need, and you feel a tug in your heart. Is that God calling you? Or you hear a call or a cry for help. Is that God calling you? Or maybe you're convicted by a passage of Scripture that you've read 100 times, yet this time it pierces your heart. This was a difficult lesson for me to work on, because the more I got into it, the more God was putting His finger on me, saying, "Are you listening to what you're writing?" And sometimes He calls us through illness or tragedy or loss, because it's at those times that He does have our undivided attention. Guys, sometimes it's a call from the church office that says, "Will you lead a prayer? Will you read Scripture?" And if your answer is not yes, then you're not trusting that God's going to give you the strength to do what you need to do. If a little old stuttering kid from East Texas can stand up here, you can read Scripture. We know the end of the story. Once Moses finally let go, he let go of his fears, he let go of his baggage, his own inadequacies and his uncertainties and his limitations. Once he let go, he was transformed from a worn-out 80-year-old shepherd in hiding into the deliverer of the law and of the nation of Israel and the giver of the law, whose name is spoken every Sunday in every synagogue in the world and has been for 4,000 years. And we speak His name often because He was used so powerfully by God to accomplish God's plan. And He did it all for God's glory. The one time we have in Scripture that He didn't, it was costly. But the fact is, God can do the same for you and for me. No, nobody's going to say my name, certainly, for 4,000 years from now. But He can help you overcome your uncertainties and your fears and equip you to do the work that He calls you to do. So in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. And I'm going to ask our shepherds, if they would, like we've done for the last few weeks, if they would step out in the aisles when we sing. Because you don't have to do this alone. Moses didn't have to go alone. God sent His brother, Aaron. If God is calling you, you don't have to go alone. Is God calling you to follow Jesus, to put Jesus on in baptism today? Is God calling you back after you've lived a life maybe that doesn't measure up to the standards that you know He has? Are you struggling with something in your own life? Are you struggling with your calling? If you do, you don't have to come alone. If you want to come down front, one of our shepherds will be your errand. If you want to go to the back and you want somebody to pray with you, you don't have to do this alone. But if you have some need this morning, would you come as we stand and sing?